Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Estás escuchando Encuentro Radio. ¿Te perdiste tu programa favorito? No te preocupes, en Encuentro Radio subimos todos nuestros programas en versión de podcast. Encuéntralos en www.encuentroradio.com.co y disfruta de todo el contenido que tenemos preparado para ti. Encuentro Radio, la emisora del Cepal. Comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Communication.
Agriculture.
Education. Children.
Youth.
Health.
Migrants.
Climate.
Ministry.
Community.
Engaging.
Connecting.
Growing.
Real stories.
Real impact.
Open space conversations.
Every other Tuesday.
10 a.m.
Colombian time.
Only on Encuentro Radio.
Hello, friends, family, and new audience. Welcome to another episode of Open Space Conversations, a program organized by Global Mission Fellows of the United Methodist Church, cohort 2025 to 2027. We're so happy to continue with this meaningful space
where we can share our stories and personal experiences as missionaries around the world. So today is our program number 9 of this season, and I'm so excited to hear what our today's guests have for us. I'm Natalie Monterrosa, I'm from El Salvador, and I'm currently serving and reporting from the offices of CEPAL in Encuentro Radio and in Bogotá, Colombia. As you may know, this program has taken shape over the years, and in this season with our cohort as missionaries, we have two missionaries guests every episode, and they have the opportunity of have a conversation, a genuine conversation, where we get to know more about their stories and their experiences. So in this opportunity, we have the great pleasure to have both missionaries, Theon Douglas and also Perseverance Chivica. Theon is from Trinidad and Tobago, and he's serving at Utila, Honduras. And Perseverance, Percy Chivica, from Zimbabwe, and she is serving in Liberia. So we're so glad to have you both with us here today, and I know everyone is excited to know more about what you're doing, so please take a moment to introduce yourselves to the audience. Percy, you can start. Your mic, please. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Natalie, for having me on the program. My name is Perseverance Chivica. I'm a Global Mission Fellow from Zimbabwe, and I'm serving in Liberia, in Monrovia, Liberia, as a program coordinator with women entrepreneurs in environmental links. And it's such an honor to be part of this program.
Perfect. Theon, you can introduce yourself, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Theon Douglas. I am from Trinidad and Tobago, and I am currently serving in Utila, Honduras, and I work as an administrative assistant and filing system creations, and it is a great pleasure for me to be here with you all this morning.
So how are you feeling, guys? Do you feel happy? Do you feel nervous? What do you say?
A little bit on both.
Both? Okay. But it's great to have you with us here, because we haven't seen each other or talked each other since Ghana, I guess. So just between messages, among messages or something on the group chat, but it's difficult to have a conversation to face to face, you know, even though we have Zoom, we have Meet, but it's difficult to gather some missionaries because we're also busy doing some stuff in our place of assignments. So, to the audience, if you're tuning in for the first time and you have joined us, Open Space Conversation is a one-hour program on Encuentro Radio, an online station by CEPALC based in Bogotá, Colombia. It's a space where missionaries from around the world come together to share their experiences and reflect on the work they do from human rights, health, education, migration, community work, church work, and more. As you listen, remember you can stay in touch with us by sending your messages or greetings through Encuentros Radio social media or even WhatsApp. So you can find us on Instagram and at @CEPALC_Encuentro_Radio, on Facebook as /Encuentro Radio, or reach us through WhatsApp at +57 302 52 12 34 2. I say it again, +57 302 52 12 34 2. So today's conversation's topic is Faith in Action, Serving Communities Across Borders. And now, Percy, as I said, we're so glad to have you with us here today. So I'm excited to know more about you and the conversation that you have for us. So please, Percy, you can start with this open space conversation. This is your time.
Thank you. Thank you once again, Natalie. Greetings to everyone who has just recently joined us, and greetings to you, my fellow Global Mission Fellow. It's been long. How are you?
It's been long. I'm doing good, and I hope you're doing fine as well.
Yeah, I'm good. So without wasting much of our time, I would like to learn more about your day-to-day work in Honduras. Can you please share what your daily responsibilities look like as an administrative assistant supporting Methodist churches there?
Of course. So my main location of working is at the Utila Methodist Community College. It's a school, a bilingual school that goes up until 11th grade, and I do accounting and record keeping and also setting up filing systems there so that the certain processes can happen faster. But I also work at the Utila Mispa Methodist Church here on the island, as well as there's a other churches in the area and off the coast of the mainland of Honduras that I also do accounting and record keeping for.
Nice. That sounds really meaningful and interesting. So in your role, how does improving financial record keeping and filing systems help strengthen the mission and work for the churches you serve?
It improves the mission, so it allows for many various things to be done efficiently. For example, requesting certain tax breaks from the government, or buying or selling land, paying files to be audited, for purchasing of other assets. It allows for a smoother, more efficient way for those things to be done.
Nice. So you've mentioned your work with churches and communities. What have you learned about the needs of the communities along the northern coast of Honduras through your service.
So there's a high number of persons who are affected by drug abuse or alcohol abuse or different other forms of abuse, and it's very prevalent in the community, and it's something that the church that I'm attached to, we're working to get a program, a 12-step program on the way, so that we can assist persons who are in this underprivileged situations can be have something that they can rely on for aid, because those sorts of situations isn't something that you can come out of alone. You need some assistance. So we are trying to set up programs so that they can get those assistance.
That's a great initiative, and I wish you all the best. So looking back at your experience so far, what has been one of the most meaningful moments or experiences you have had while working with the churches in Honduras?
I would say there was around Thanksgiving time. There was they have a program that's an initiative that the Sunday school basically supply food goods for the to be prepared for the community, and they then choose a day and they go out and they give those hampers out to the community, along with like a food dish, whether it be like a soup or a full meal or whatever it may be, and we go on and give it out to those persons who are less fortunate and unable to have a Thanksgiving of their own, so that they could, you know, have that joy in their life around that time. And it usually leads up to Christmas, where that will also offset some of those costs around Christmas that comes with Christmas time, so that their families can have a good Christmas.
That's great, and that was really impactful. So how have the churches and communities responded to the administrative systems and support you're helping to develop?
Okay, so for the most part, it has been a very positive response. It has been a very positive response from the community and the churches. Everyone has been very helpful. If there's something that I need to get information, or whatever programs or whatever need to get done to better support my work, everyone is able to give back and to help in every situation that they can, however they can.
Okay, so earlier I'd forgotten about this, sorry. Earlier you mentioned that you sometimes preach in the church, right?
I do. I've been given the opportunity several times at this point to preach both on the island here and on the mainland. There is one church on the mainland that is bilingual, so it gives me an ability to reach out to them and to encourage them there as well.
That's great. Seems like it's now the early stages of someone coming in reference. Anyway, finally, how can people support you through your advance? Like, how can they support the missionary work that you're doing in the Honduras and as a global mission field at large?
Prayers are always helpful. It is it will help greatly if the person supports with prayer through positive messages and various different things. You can also support me financially through my advance number. You can go to tdouglas@umcmissions.org, and the advance number is 302-2889. I'll repeat that again, 302-2889.
Okay, perfect. So I have two more questions for you, Dion. So I know that it's complicated to be outside in a place that we don't know, because even though there are like similar places around Latin America, there's anything like home, right? So could you share some cultural shocks that you've experienced in Honduras? Like something that you haven't experienced in your own country, in your home country, but you have experienced there, and something, sometimes it shocked us, right?
To be honest, the Utila is very Caribbean-like, you know, and I've had the great pleasure of meeting some great people. But what I would say has shocked me, not really much of a shock, but it's more of a challenge on my part, is that there is some, because the island is bilingual, mm-hmm. and so there is some level where some persons speak English, but and Spanish, but there might be some persons who only speak Spanish, and that has been a barrier that I have had to go through and is working through.
So if you go to any store, they are bilingual, or they just speak Spanish? Or
so most stores speak Spanish.
Oh, okay. But yeah. Have you learned some words?
I have. So since I reached to Honduras, the persons who have picked me up at the airport, because I came from the mainland, and the persons who have picked me up, they said, "So do you speak any Spanish?" And I said, "Poquito."
Poquito.
but I would say that I've learned one or two words that, you know, is very, which is now the problem is that I have zero Spanish previously, so every word that I learned is, you know, a new word basically.
Yeah, I know, it happens. I mean, even though I'm in Colombia, they speak Spanish, but there are some words that I don't understand. So I have learned some expressions, some new words that I haven't used before, but I mean, everything is so different, but it's similar, yeah. But also so different. I have it's compared so different. It like a parallel world where it looks similar to home, but it's not the same, right? So the next question I want to ask you, Dion, it's, can you share with us a moment where you have felt the love of God in your place of assignment?
Of course, man. There has been people who have adopted me like family, in terms of like they make sure I'm okay, they check in with me. My supervisor is one of them. Many other persons has basically adopted me as their son, brother, into their families, and that has been very meaningful and very helpful in easing my transition from home to here.
Okay, oh, that's great. I mean, it's great to be, I mean, it's difficult to be far from our family or homes, but it's nice to, like, find some friends and other family that it's like, it's not a real family like blood, but it becomes to family between church or with the community, right? So
yeah.
That's great. So, do you miss some of the food of your home country, Tian? Yeah. What is the thing that you miss the most?
Soup. is a weird name, but it's called doubles.
Oh, okay.
Like double, but with an S.
But have you learned to cook it there?
I've been looking for one ingredient, mm-hmm. and once I find it, I will be making it.
Okay, let us know then.
I will.
Okay, thank you so much, Tian, for sharing your stories and insights with us today. And to everyone listening, thank you also for being with us and stay in touch and stay tuned with us. So we're moving into a musical break, and this is the time that we are listening to Makanaka Jisu. And this is a song that has been chosen by Percy. So if you want, Percy, you can introduce the song with us.
Okay, Makanaka Jesu is a song that was sang by Minister Michael Mayende, is a Zimbabwean. And I chose this song because it's a song that reminds me of the goodness and faithfulness of God, of Jesus. It's a message that encourages gratitude, hope, and trust in God. And it really resonates deeply with my journey in mission and service. So enjoy. The music's really nice, and it also has an English version at the end of the, the song.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Makanaka Jesu Simuta Uoko Uchiti Makanaka Jesu Unoche Meiko Unota Iwe
Welcome back to Open Space Conversations. We are still so excited to know more about the missionary work that is being doing around the world. So a shout out to our GMF friends that are listening to us. They said the song was a great choice, so thank you, Percy. Was beautiful. Now it's Theon's turn to go with the interview, so please, this is your time, Theon.
Hi, welcome back everyone. I hope we're all doing well. So Percy, please tell us, how did you first connect, or how did you first find out about the GMF program? And was women's right and advocacy your first choice?
Okay, thank you for the question, Theon. I first connected with the Global Mission Fellow Program through my church back home, which is the United Methodist Church. A church member shared information about the program and with me and encouraged me to apply. So after learning more about it, that's when I decided to pursue the opportunity, and fortunately, women's rights and advocacy was one of my first choices, because since high school, I have been involved in initiatives that focused on empowering women and girls, and later during and after the university, I volunteered with organizations that worked with women empowerment. So these experiences, they really shaped my passion, and I was glad to be placed in a role that aligns with it.
That's awesome. So outside of your day-to-day job, how do you connect with the community in Michelle?
Okay, on the aspect of outside, the job context, I'm sorry, but I have to say it's through my job that enables me to connect with the community. I connect with the community by actively participating with the community, like outreaches that we usually do as an organization. We work, as I mentioned earlier, I work with women entrepreneurs and environmental links. So we work with women, with young girls and women. We do school outreach programs, awareness campaigns, and engagement with women. And I also make an effort to listen and learn from the community members as we'll be doing those community engagement, those community programs. That's how I get to be able to build relationships, and those relationships will be built based on respect, understanding. For example, at our organization, we have been doing school outreach visits, and in communities to support, and we have been engaging with those schools and communities to support the formation of environmental and entrepreneurial clubs. And it was through this work that I have been able to build the relationship with the students and the teachers, and it has really enabled me to understand their challenges and their day-to-day needs. It has helped me as well as my role as the program coordinator today. It has helped me design programs that are more responsive to their needs.
Awesome. So you said that you are a program coordinator. So what are some of the main responsibilities do you have as a program coordinator?
Okay, as a program coordinator, I assist in planning, coordinating, and implementing programs, and also implementing activities. I work with schools, as I mentioned earlier. I work with communities and stakeholders to organize events, support project implementations, and monitoring ongoing activities. And my key role is also contributing to initiatives that empower young girls and women through building their knowledge, digital skills, and awareness of important social and environmental issues.
Okay. Interesting. So, tell us, how does the program that you, the organization that you work, that you support, which is the WEEL program, and you can tell us what that means, how does that program support young women and girls through entrepreneurship, promote environmental awareness, and address the challenges women face in gaining land rights?
Okay, so first of all, women, WEEL, it stands for Women Entrepreneurs and Environmental Links. So we support young women and girls through entrepreneurship training, leadership development, and environmental education, mainly through school outreach programs and the formation of the club that I've mentioned, that we are establishing the environmental and entrepreneurial clubs in school. We also engage with rural women through community outreach and partnerships with other organizations to support their livelihoods and share knowledge. And in addition, we'll also participate in discussions with women-led organizations and civil society groups that broader, deals with issues around women's rights, including land access and ownership. And we also participate, the Women Entrepreneurs Environmental Links participate in this dialogue, and we collaborate on how best we can, you know, empower women in the communities.
Awesome. So can you share any programs or any initiative that you would have been a part of coordinating either in the past or that is coming?
I'll be gladly to share, like, we have managed to establish five clubs in two different counties across Liberia. I was honored, and I'm so grateful to have been part of the initiative. We have established environmental and entrepreneurial clubs in high schools. We have targeted to the high school, the young women and girls in high school, teaching them about entrepreneurial skills, environmental issues, and these clubs are in five different schools in two counties, which involve Bomi County and Monserrado County here in Liberia. So it's actually a great initiative, because we'll be discussing about various things, SRHR, environmental issues, entrepreneurial skills. I mean, like, there are so many bright young women and girls here in Liberia, and they are very resilient. They are very, you know, that enthusiasm of wanting to be entrepreneurs. So it's such a great initiative for me, and I'm so glad to be part of it, because it's nice when you're doing something that you can see that this person is actually passionate about environmental issues. This person is actually passionate about entrepreneurial skills. So, yeah.
Of course. So, when all is said and done, what are some of the changes that you would like to see for women and girls in Liberia for the future, for the foreseeable future?
Okay, honestly, I would like to see more girls completing their education and receiving greater economic opportunities. You know, there are so many marginalized women, and the majority of young girls, they are not able to go to school because of financial constraints, and unfortunately they'll end up, you know, selling, doing vendoring. I'm not saying it's a bad job, but it's an opportunity. Instead of them going to school, they are now, because of financial issues, financial strains, they are now opting to sell for them to earn a living. So my one thing that I would really love to see more on girls and women in Liberia is for them to, you know, complete their education. And I also hope to see girls staying in school and being fully supported, because, you know, not being able to go to school, and it's leaving them vulnerable, it's making them become exploited, and yeah, and people can take advantage of them. Easy to take advantage of someone who will be desperate on wanting something or needing something. So my greatest prayer and hope is to see them, you know, thriving, to see them getting the education that they deserve, to enjoy their life, because there are so many, not so many as such, but from the women that I've interacted with, the young girls that I've interacted with, a majority of them, they have babies already, and they're only teenagers. So you can see that there's so many potential, but they have been exploited due to economic strains, because they want to earn a living, and then they end up being exploited. So my hope and prayer is that more women and girls will have access to education, despite them having babies or them being pregnant, because a majority of them, they get disowned by their families. They'll be like, you're now grown up, so you are now on your own, and, you know, it makes them become more vulnerable in the society, in the community. So, yeah.
Wow. Let me be one of the first to say that you're doing awesome work.
Thank you.
So please tell us, how can we support you?
Okay, people can support me through prayers. They can send messages of encouragement, really need that. They can support me through my advance number, which is the number used by the Global Mission Fellows. It's my to receive contributions towards our cohort fundraising goal for the 2025 to 2027 program. And support can come in different ways. People can, as I mentioned earlier, they can pray for us. They can send messages of encouragement or make a financial contribution towards our fundraising goal. And every form of support, no matter the size, anything, it will be very meaningful. It can actually appreciate, and it helps us continue serving in our different communities. So my advance number is 3022857, and if you'd like to read more about my mission work, you just search on Global Mission Fellow and search for my name, Perseverance Shibika. That they will find my bio. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you so much, Percy, for sharing your experiences. I have two more questions, and one of them is, which of those projects you mentioned you think has had a better impact in women? I mean, I'm asking this because I sort of working with women too here, so it's really interesting to know more about what is like working or what is like making an impact in other countries. So please tell us.
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, we as women entrepreneurs, environmental links organization, we work collaboratively with other organizations. We collaborate with other organizations, with other organizations that deals with women empowerment. So we have collaborated with the with a quite number of organizations, and that's how we got to establish this club. So through collaboration, it managed to find those women. As I mentioned earlier, there are women that are being deprived from getting education because of the situation that they are in, the young girls, because of the pregnancies, because of the babies that they'll be having. So it was through this program that we collaborated with other organizations that they decided to put those girls, those young girls that have babies already, they've helped them, they've put them on scholarships. So we've managed to secure about 25 girls in Bomi County, which is a county that is found here in Liberia. So it's actually a great initiative because the majority of them were now, you know, hopeless. They are now hopeless, not knowing on what to do. Like, now my parents, they have disowned me. What am I going to do? How am I going to support for my child? How am I going to get the education? At least if I get education, I get to, you know, start from somewhere. I can look for a job as a secretary or anything. So the program, this initiative, it has actually brought light to those 25 girls. And all of them, they have babies and they are teenagers. But it's all things, we thank God for the collaboration. They're now able to continue with their school. They're now able to fend for their children. And fortunately enough, they are, as I mentioned, they are very resilient. They are very hardworking because they'll be having their side also. Majority of them, they mentioned that they sell sweets, they can plait hair, just to find some few dollars, some few cents. So with the program now coming in, it's actually going to help them. At least that money that she was getting, she was saving for the school, she's now fending for a child. So, yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting and very powerful what you're doing. So in these programs, I know that they're doing a great job with them, but have you felt like these programs have impacted in your life in some ways? like changing your the way that you think about something or anything like that?
Yes, this program has made me realize that we have to be grateful for what we have. We have to be grateful for what God has given us, because you see someone and they are, you know, you honestly, it really has touched me. I felt that because a majority of the women, the young girls, they are like, I see them as my little sisters, and it really broke my heart that people are actually taking advantage. And it's up to us as missionaries, as people who are working in these platforms of women, like who are working in these platforms of women empowerment, we should be their voices. We should help them. We should emancipate them from this exploitation, from this vulnerability. So it's really pushed me now to wanting to do more for them. At least it won't be much, but at least I should. It pushed me to wanting to do more, to participate in this initiative, because I know that I can make a positive impact in someone else's life. The things that we take advantage of, it's something big to the next person. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Percy. It's great to know that more missionaries are feeling this like call. I mean, it's easy to see like the problems that are happening in the POAs, but be like indifferent. But what these problems really have to cause in us, it's to be more like committed to this service. So it's great that you feel this way. And one last question, as I asked Theon, could you share some cultural shocks that you've experienced in Liberia?
I could write a book, but I'm just going to mention a few because I know we have limited time. But one of the greatest culture shock for me was obviously the food. I'm from Zimbabwe, the southern African part of Africa, southern region. So here in West Africa, they eat food with a lot of spices. They call it pepe. And it has been really hard, like almost every restaurant that you go to, it will be very, you know, spicy. They'll be having spicy food. But I've gradually, you know, immersed myself. You know, I've been trying to eat the food, because usually when you go to these meetings, when you go to the community, you know, Liberian people, they are very accommodative. They're very accommodating. Their level of hospitality is on another level. So usually when you visit the community, they offer you food and you can't say no. I find it so rude. Honestly, I find it so rude to just decline someone's food when they offer you. So I end up eating. So it's because of this engagement that I've been making that has pushed me to, you know, try to eat the pepper food. And other culture shock was the language. Coming here to Liberia, we were told that they speak in English. But their English is a bit different. Their language is called Koloqua, and it's been hectic. But thank God that I got to learn. I got to, you know, find someone to teach me the Koloqua, you know, language. Because when you go to the communities, they won't be understanding what you'll be saying, even if you say it in English. So you have to learn some words, you know, just to immerse yourself. To make them feel like you are one, we're together, we're not, you know. So the language and the weather, it's very hot. It has heavy rain, but it will be extremely hot. Our weather is totally different. So those are some of the culture shocks.
Okay. So have you learned their language? I mean, some words or expressions?
Yeah, I have.
Could you share with us some?
If they want to say more, they say plenty. If they want to say rice, they say re. Like, I want to eat re. They don't. It's like they be chopping their words. They don't finish their words yet. So if they want to say dog, they say dog.
Do.
And yeah, do. Yeah. So, and if they want to, if you want to say, "I'll come," they, "I'll do it slow," "I'll be doing it slowly," they say, "I'll be doing it small, small."
Interesting. Okay, thank you so much, Percy, for all your insights and experiences that you have shared with us. And now we're moving into the second musical break, and this time we'll be listening to My Rock by Jace Jaron. So this is a choice by Theon, so please introduce the song for us.
Hey everyone, so this is a song from my my home country, Trinidad. The singer, he had a rough upbringing, and turned to God and started to make gospel music. And the song really is about him saying that even through tough times, God is our rock. I want that to be a message to all of us, that even through tough times, God is always there.
Thank you. So we'll be back shortly to Open Space Conversations. Stay tuned.
Well, I hear they say the country in recession, but thank God, salvation is free. And even though we in a tight situation, Jesus came for you and for me. Some of them say tighten your belt, rubber them from government, but Jesus don't want me about that in revelation. And even though panic all over the nation, I just want to get up and dance.
Take a moment to thank our guests, Theon and Percy, for being with us today and for sharing their stories so openly. It's been a real joy having you here with us and sharing with us everything, like the shocks and everything. And your, sorry?
So thank you for having
us. Okay. So, before we close, you have a time, Theon and Percy, to to share or your final thoughts with our audience, or say some greetings to them, or I mean, you have the time. Perfect. You can say.
Honestly, I wasn't prepared for this, but I just want to send prayers to my fellow GMS guys. Let's continue pushing. Let's continue checking on each other. It's really impactful. And I'd also like to shout out to my family back home in Zimbabwe. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me on this program, on the program. It's, you know, I got to learn more about what Theon is going through in Honduras, how he's serving, how he's preaching, how he's slowly becoming a reverend.
Soon it will be Reverend Theon, right?
Yes.
Okay, Theon?
Proverbs 27 and 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And I want us to remember that. So let us not, if you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling any sort of distance, reach out to someone. We are availing ourselves as a cohort. We have made promises and commitments to be there for each other. So let us continue to do so as we further go into mission and to do the work of the Lord.
Okay, thank you so much, Theon. And to everyone tuning in from different parts of the world, thank you for being with us today. This space truly comes to life because of you, because of every missionary that is listening to us. And remember, you can catch us every other Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. Colombian time on EncuentroRadio.com.co and also on TuneIn. We're so excited to keep these conversations going on and continue building this community together. As we wrap up today's program, we leave you with one last song. This song is called No Hay Condena. It is from a Argentinian band in Spanish. So until we meet again, may you go with peace, stay encouraged, and keep sharing hope wherever you are. So goodbye for now.
Hay en ti.